Okay, here we go. All right, good afternoon, everybody. So today we are going to continue our introduction of Pas Akum and start getting into the actual Shulchan Aruch, what the Shulchan Aruch has to say. So yesterday we went through the Gemaras, but there is one piece of Gemara that needs a little bit more elaboration before we could take the next step and discuss whether the Gezerah applies nowadays and exactly how the Gezerah applies nowadays. And that is when the Gemara tells us that Amar Rabbi Chelbo, Afilu Lamandi Amar, Paltar Akum, Lo Amran El Deleka Paltar Yisrael. That even if you assume that in that story where Rebbe was wondering, why is it that nobody was eating bread? Is there no non-Jewish baker available? So even if you assume that that's what he was saying, is there no non-Jewish baker available, implying that if there is a non-Jewish baker available, you're allowed to eat from a non-Jewish baker, that's only Deleka Paltar Yisrael. If there's no Paltar Yisrael available, Avol B'makom Deika Paltar Yisrael, lo. But if there is a Paltar Yisrael, then you're certainly not allowed to have Pas Palter of a guy. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, and then Rabbi Yochanan comments, nah, Afilu Madiyar Palter Akum Hani Mili Besada. The chilik is about where you are, not so much about what else is available, but where you are. If you're in the field, that's when we can rely on Pas Palter of an Akum. Aval Bi'ir Lo Mishum Chasnus. But in the city, you're not allowed to rely on it because of the concern of Chasnus. So there is a significant machlokas Rishonim over here. How Rabbi Chelbo and Rabbi Yochanan relate to each other. Is this a machlokas? Is each one just adding to the other? Does Rabbi Yochanan agree to Rabbi Chelbo, but Rabbi Chelbo not agree to Rabbi Yochanan? So the Ramban and the Ran write that Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Rabbi Chelbo. The Rabbi Chelbo, who's the one that was mechalik between when there's a Paltar Yisrael available and when there's no Paltar Yisrael available. So you can only begin being matir when there's no Paltar Yisrael. But then what he does is he adds a chumrah that even that heter is only besada. So essentially what Rabbi Yochanan is telling you is that you need two conditions in order to allow pas palter shel akum. Number one, no palter Yisrael. And number two, you're nimtza besada. And only then can you be mekel when you have both of those qualifications. Now, this seems to be Shitas HaRambam as well. In Machol Sesuris Parag Yizayin, Alach Yud Beis, the Rambam writes, Afal Pisha Asu Pas Akum, Yesh Mekom Bel Shemekilin Velokchen Pas Hanachtom HaAkum, B'makom She'en Sham Nachtom Yisrael, U Basada, Mipnei Shu Shasavcha. Aval Pas Balei Batam, Ein Sham Misha Morba LaHakel, Sheikh Ragzeri Misham Chasus, Vim Yochel Pas Balei Batam, Yavel Usod Etzlan. He says that when it comes to a Palter, we're going to allow Pas Palter if there's no Palter Yisrael, and your basada. So by the Rambam requiring both qualifications, it seems like he's assuming that somebody holds that you need both of these qualifications. Who would that somebody be? So it's most logical that would be Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, Rabbi Chelbo made one qualification, that ain't Palter Yisrael, and then Rabbi Yochanan added a second qualification, that you also need to have you also need to be basada in order for it to be mutter. Then the Ran and the Ramban suggest that, no, maybe Rabbi Chelbo was speaking in a city and agrees to this heter when there's no Paltar Yisrael, but he adds another kula that in a field it's mutter even if there is a Paltar Yisrael. So you can only need... you only really need one or the other to be mekel. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan was commenting on Rabbi Chelbo. The Rabbi Chelbo, because he was talking about a city, so he says that in a city, when there's no Paltar Yisrael, you can rely on Paltar Akum. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan and says, that's not the only time you can rely on Paltar Akum. If you're Besade, even when there is Paltar Yisrael, that's good enough. That's the second interpretation of how to understand the Gemara. The Ramban says that the Rif seems to assume that way, because the Rif says that b'makom that there's no pas Yisrael metsuya, then imamu alav v'yitiruha mipnei chayei nefesh, and he doesn't distinguish between an ear and a sada. So it seems that not having Paltar Yisrael is enough. That just one or the other is enough, meaning he's passing like Rabbi Chelbo, and that just not having Paltar Yisrael is all that a person requires. Then the Ran quotes a possibility that they argue with each other, and that each one says a different heter, and they don't agree with the other one's heter. And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't think that it matters if there's a Paltar Yisrael available. All that matters, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is ir or sada. Rabbi Chalbo doesn't think Yerah Sada matters. All that matters is whether Palter Akum and Palter Yisrael. However, the Ritva says that it can't be. The Ritva points out they can't be arguing. It can't be a machlokas. It has to be that Rabbi Yochanan agrees to Rabbi Chalbo's premise. He's either offering an alternative or further qualifying. But it can't be that he totally rejects the distinction between Paltu Yisrael available or not. How do I know that, says the Ritva? Because look at the Lashon of the Gemara. It says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, not Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Right? And that's one of the klalim in learning, that when you have the name of the person before the word Amar, that means that they're arguing, because we're trying to say that, oh, well, the first person said this, Rabbi Yochanan, by contrast, says this. But if it's Amar Rabbi Yochanan, then that indicates that it's not a machlokas, and that it's not a contrast that's being drawn. So the Ritva says that's a good enough raya that there's no machlokas. The Ran had a girsa in the Rambam where he didn't mention Sada at all, and was simply makel whenever there's no Paltu Yisrael. So the Ran says that the Rambam learns that they were arguing, and Paskin's like Rabbi Chalbo, meaning because that was his girsa in the Rambam, that he simply Paskin's like Rabbi Chalbo, like the first daya, that all we're looking for is no Paltu Yisrael available. Kesem Mishnah and Beis Yosef say that the Ran's text of the Rambam was just incorrect, that the real text of the Rambam should require both, as we have in our Rambams, that you need it to be that it's no Paltu Yisrael available, and Basada, only then you could be Mekel, which is fascinating, that the Beis Yosef and Kesef Mishnah say that that Girsa of the Rambam, that the Ran's Girsa of the Rambam is incorrect, because if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Beis, what does Shulchan Aruch say? Yesh Mekomos, Shemekilim bedavar v'lo chempas mi nachtom ha'ovid kuchavim b'makom she'ein sham nachtom Yisrael mepnei shehi shas hadchak. He didn't say anything about Sada, right? Meaning he quotes a Lashon HaRambam with the mistaken girsa, with what he says is a mistaken girsa. So that's a little bit troubling. He leaves out the word basada. So he seems to be bringing the Lashon of the Rambam according to the girsa of the Ran, that in both Kesef Mishnah and Beis Yosef, he said was a mistaken girsa. Now, so that's a little bit troubling, but that's what made it onto the page in Shulchan Aruch, that we don't start asking questions about Sada and Ir, that we're only interested in whether Paltu Yisrael is available or not. So we're going to have to come back to that, but that's what it seems, even though maybe based on a mistaken girsa in the Rambam, or at least on the other Shitos in Rishonim that we just paskin like the first day of Rabbi Chalbo, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now there is another ha'ara to be made before we get into what it says in Shulchan Aruch over here, and that is the Ramban in Dibra Maschil Od Re'isi quotes that there are those who are entirely matir the Isser of Pas Akum. They say that the whole thing doesn't apply. Why? Because the whole original concern was chasnus, which was a legitimate concern in earlier generations. When the Ramban describes Hais chaviva aleim behemton shel Yisrael yoser min hashosem, the Ramban didn't come up with that terminology. That's a Gemara. The Gemara uses that terminology. That in earlier generations they would prefer to be with our animals, Jewish-owned animals, rather than being with their own wives. That's how much they coveted Jewish people. So there was a deep concern that opening up social avenues between Jews and non-Jews, that it would lead to chasnus, because the non-Jewish world wanted very much to intermarry. But nowadays, the Ramban quotes from this daya, nowadays their own laws forbid intermarriage. They view Jews as being a lower class of society, and therefore they have no motivation or desire to marry us, so there's no longer a concern. Meaning, don't flatter yourselves, Jews. Don't think that just because you're going to be social with the non-Jews that they're going to be interested in marrying you. That used to be the case. It's no longer the case. The Ramban says that is a shita that exists, and it is a big mistake. He says, first of all, even if the Metzius were correct, you can't get rid of old Gzeros without a Bezin to do so. Af Shabbatal Atam lo Batal Gzera. Even if the Metzius is correct and the Tam of the Gzera doesn't apply, the Gzera doesn't just go away. You need a Bezin that's Gadol Menu, V'chachma B'minyan. In fact, you have to question, like, what was the Havamina? Like, why would anyone think that Batal Atam Batla Gzeira. You know, assuming that that Metzius is correct, which the Ramban says that that's also not true, the Metzius is not true, but even assuming that the Metzius is correct, why would you think Batla Atam that Batla Gzeira? So this is something that you do have from time to time. That sometimes, Rav Shechta has a whole piece on this in Eretz HaTzvi, that there are different types of Gzeiros. There are Gzeiros Midrabanan, where the Tam HaGzeira is built into the Lashon HaGzeira, and Gzeiros Midrabanan, where the Tam HaGzeira is external to the Lashon HaGzeira, meaning they make a Gzeira without revealing the Tam in the Lashon of the Gzeira. It's very hard, if not impossible, to know when the Tam HaGzeira was incorporated into the Lashon of the Gzeira and when it was just an Asinas Tam Ledavar, but not incorporated into the Lashon HaGzeira. But when you have a situation where the Tam was incorporated into the Lashon, then you don't need a Bezen Gadol B'Chacham Minyan to be Mevatel it. Once the Tam goes away, the Gzeira goes away. But when the Tam was not incorporated into the Lashon, that was Chazal's way of telling us that they don't want us to be Mevatel this Gezeira when the Tam goes away. That this Gezeira should remain intact when the Tam goes away. That's why they didn't reveal the Tam. The Tam wasn't there in the Gezeira. It's only retrospectively that we go back and we try to figure out the Tam. So that's Rav Shechta's old piece where he explains that you have such a notion that called the Tikkun Rabban Kendar Reisa Tikkunim. You have two types of Dinim Doraisa as well. When you have Tam, you know, Darshina Tam, okay, we don't have to get into the whole thing, but if, take a look, it's a beautiful piece that he has, you know, based on Darshina Tam of Dekra, and how these rules on a Darabanan level mirror the Dinim on a Doraisa level. So maybe this Shita was under the impression that the Tam Mishum Chasnus was incorporated into the Lashon of the Gzeira. So it was incorporated into the Lashon of the Gzeira, so they assumed that when the Tam goes away, the Gzeira will go away as well. But the Ramban says, no, it was not included in the Lashon HaGzeira, and therefore, Afsha Batla Tam, lo Batla HaGzeira. You need a Bezen HaSkalda B'Chacham Minyan. We don't have a Bezen HaSkalda B'Chacham Minyan from the Bezen of the Talmid Yishamai V'Hillel, so Mela, the Gzeira is not going to go away. Also, says the Ramban, nothing changed. They always had prohibitions against marrying us. Why do you think they need prohibitions against marrying us? Meaning, if they really were not interested in marrying us, they wouldn't need laws against marrying Jews. So nothing has really changed. Don't tell me that because there are laws against marrying Jews in many of these countries, that they're therefore they have no desire to marry us. No, Adraba. The Gemara Avodah Zarah and Chav Beis Ambeis only said that Bitzina, they used to say that Chaviva Behemton Shal Yisrael, Yosem Menasho Sehen. But Farhesia was always a Bush to them. No one wanted to be married to a Jew to publicize such a thing. And that Metzius, says the Ramban, is still true. That publicly they wouldn't be proud of it, but privately they're very excited about marrying Jewish people. And also he says their laws do allow them to marry a Meshumet. He said, what is the law not allowed to marry them? To marry someone who identifies as a Jew. But what does it mean to... they're interested in halachic Judaism? No, they want people to reject their Judaism, to convert out. And so if the concern is you're going to fall in love with a non-Jew and you're going to want to do whatever it takes to marry them, the concern is you might convert. Now, obviously, we don't recognize that conversion, but that's exactly the point. Mishum davar acher. The whole point, right? What did the Gemara say? That they asked mishum chasus, the chasus mishum davar acher. What's davar acher? What's worse than intermarriage? What's worse than chasus? So it's avodah zarah. The whole point is that they're going to become a mishumud. So don't tell me, because there are laws in place that the non-Jews are not allowed to marry Jewish people, that we don't have a concern anymore. Adraba! That makes it a bigger concern, says the Ramban. So that's off the table. To just say that mimei, the Gezeira fell away because the Tam fell away, that's off the table. Our whole discussion about whether the Gezeira applies is really about whether it was Nespashi B'Kol Yisrael and whether we ever had a right, or Mishum Chaye Nefesh, you know, those issues, whether we ever had a right to start tinkering with the Gezeira. But to just say that because the Tam doesn't apply, the Gezeira doesn't apply, that is not really correct. Now, there is a Machlokas Rishonim whether Pas Akum is Asur or Mutter. Meaning, Tosa says that they're Mekel because Lo Pashar Yisr, Vein Gozum Gzeira, Lunkin Rav Tzibri Chal Namibat. Meaning, Tosa says that takes that approach that we discussed yesterday, that if the Yisr was never Pashat, it never spread, it was never accepted, so the Gzeira just never took it never got a footing, it never became strong. The Rush in Simul Chav Zayin says that it's Tali and Minik HaMekomos. The Gemara had said Mechlal di'ika mandashari, which indicates that they were aware that there are some places that the Gezerah didn't catch on, because ika mandashari sounds like they knew that somewhere, somebody, they didn't have a name, the Gemara didn't attach a name to it, but they knew that somewhere, somebody was being mekel. So it could be that it was nispashet in some places, not in all places. Most Rishonim, though, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran, most Rishonim assume that the Gezerah exists, but there still just might be situations that we can be mekel even though the Gezerah exists. So comes along Shulchan Aruch. Now let's learn Shulchan Aruch. Comes along Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph and says Shulchan Aruch, Asru Chachamim Lechol Pas Shalamim of the Chavim Mishum Chasnus. You're not allowed to eat Pas Shalamim of the Chavim because of a concern of Chasnus. And the Rama Ezra, Filu B'makom Delecha Mishum Chasnus Asr. Even if there is not a major concern of Chasnus with that particular Ovid Kochavim, it's still going to be Asr. The Shulchan Aruch goes on. Something made of the five grains, the same grains that are borei minim zonos, the same grains that you wash and bench on, the same grains that are make matzah and chametz and chayiv and challah, right? Those are the same grains that they, again, kol tikun rabbanan ken d'oraisa tiknum. You might say, well, I don't know, if you get these gluten-free breads that don't have any grain in them, I don't know what they make them out of, but, you know, they were like those Pesach hot dog buns. Again, not sure what those are made out of. It probably depends which Pesach program you're on, either chametz or potatoes. So if you have those, you know, those things that don't have any grain in them whatsoever, so then it's since on a daraisa level we define pas for chiyuv challah and for matzah and for all those things, we define pas as chameshes minei dagon. So we for the din derabanan of what pas is, even though something else might look like pas and taste like pas, but it's not pas, it's not included in the gzeira. And the Rama says, you might say, well, wait a second. So these other, if I have rice bread, so maybe it's not pasakum, but maybe it's bishalakum. He says, no, it's not all shulchan malachim, so it's not going to be bishalakum. But we'll get to all shulchan malachim later on. Now, the Rama had said that afil b'makom deleka mishum chasnus aser, that even when there's no concern of chasnus aser, that means the gzeir even applies to a non-Jew who doesn't have any children, right? We remember in Hilchas Nida we learned about how a woman, for those who were in Shir last year, we learned about how a woman doesn't go to the mikveh during the daytime, right? Why doesn't she go to the mikveh during the daytime, even on the eighth day, even the day after her Leil Tevila? Mishum srach bita. Because her daughter is going to remember, oh, mommy used to go to the mikveh during the daytime, and she's going to think that mikveh is supposed to be during the daytime, and she's going to end up going on the seventh day, and she'll end up, you know, violating Sirius Yisurim because of that. So the shach over there said, oh, what if she doesn't have a daughter? It doesn't matter if she doesn't have a daughter. Even if you don't have any children, the Yisurim that relate to the children are still going to apply. So the shach in Sivkat and Dalit just explains who wouldn't have children could go and pass hakomrim shein lehem banim aser. But he explains why. Why would that be aser? So it's not just because stam it's a low plug. He says the concern is not, you know, you might say, I know this baker. I would never marry anyone remotely related to them. I have no interest. I know his daughter. She is the most inappropriate person. Like I've had run-ins with her. Whatever, I don't know, whatever it is, that you could be absolutely convinced. But it's not about him or his daughter. He says, the shaft, lo mishum bito shel mocher no sin amra, lo mishum bados obdi cham shim ein lezeh, yesh lezeh. He has a friend whose daughter is looking for a shidduch, and he'll set you up with him. So you can't eat bread baked by a Catholic priest, even though he doesn't have any children. The Prima Gadim in Os Beis explains that va'av kuti she'eno ovira vados chavim pito aser. And he says that it's not about Ovid Avodah Zarah over here. It's Mishum Chasnus. Mishum Chasnus is Mishum Davaracher. So you might say, well, if the Chasnus isn't going to lead to Davaracher because the person is, you know, is not an Ovid Avodah Zarah, the person is a Muslim, so they're not Ovid Avodah Zarah, so maybe you don't have to worry about it. So it says, Prima Gadim, let's be absolutely clear over here. You do not get to interview the baker about their religious beliefs and then decide whether their pas is pas akum. If they are not Jewish, their pas is pas akum. Now, what is it that... well, we already discussed yesterday, right, that about why it is that we made this gezeira in light of the fact that there's already an Isra of Bishul Akum, or maybe not already an Isra of Bishul Akum, but l'chora there's another issue, and that is that all the kalim that a non-Jew uses are trefa kalim. So shouldn't I not be allowed, even if, like we said yesterday, we're not concerned about the ingredients in the bread. The ingredients in the bread are fine because they had not yet thought of the chap of putting lard in the bread. So I'm not worried about the ingredients of the bread, but I'm worried. Why shouldn't I be worried about the kalim? So the Ran asked that kasha, and he says that it's nothing tam lefgam because you assume the kalim are stam kalim reina b'nei yoman of the chav reina b'nei yoman. And Tosos and Lamed Chesam and Beis and Dibra Maschil E and the Ramban and the Ran say that that's not the only thing. There are multiple Sfeikos over here. Maybe they didn't use the Kli that day. Good. Maybe it's Tenu B'nei Yomo. And even if they did use the Kli that day, maybe they only used it for something else that was kosher. So you don't have any Tam of Treif that's Ben Yomo. And even if it was used for not for kosher, maybe that food that they used it with was not no Saint Tom into the Kli. Or maybe it was no Saint Tom Pagume Ikaro. It, for whatever reason, gave off a putrid taste into that Kli. So a rancid taste into that Kli. So there's a Svek, you know, there are enough Svekos over here that you could be Matir. Now, even though the Rambam in Perek Yizayin of Malchus Asura seems to say that only B'dieved were not Choshesh for Kelim B'nei Yoman, the Ran brings many rayas that we're not concerned at all, meaning that you don't have to worry that the Kli of Novid Chavim is a Ben Yomo. It's not a Ben Yomo, so it's perfectly fine. The Shach, Sivkot and Gimel, says the Shach, Mishum Guli of Chavim Lekal Mechash, Tisam Klei Amen Ben Yomo. And he only quotes that one sniff. That's all you really need, he says. In Simul Kuf Chav Beis, we learn that Stam Klei of Chavim Reina Ben Yomo. So we assume that that it's going to be mutter for that reason. In the Sefer Oel Yaakov, he points out that even though we generally lechadchila do not rely on nosin tam levgam, right? Lechadchila you're not allowed to cook food in a non-kosher ein ben yom apat. So you might say, well, wait a second. You're telling me that if I manage to skirt the problem of pasakum, it's a palter when there's a palter, no palter yisrael available, or besader, whatever the heterim are. As long as I manage to get around the issue of pasakum. So you're telling me I don't have to worry about the food that was cooked in these kalim? So, why not? Especially if you say like the shach, the only heter is Eina Ben Yomo, that's only a heter b'diavad, that's not a heter l'chadchila. So he says that the shach is alluding to the Raman, Kuf Chav Beis of Vav, who paskins that you're allowed to buy kosher food prepared in a non-Jew's kalim, even l'chadchila, but only if it was already prepared and not prepared specifically for you. Meaning, just like you're allowed to lechadchila eat the chicken that you've already cooked in an Eino Ben Yomo dairy pot, so similarly, if not for the gzeira on bread, you'd be allowed to buy bread from a non-Jew, because we assume it's kalim or not b'nei yoman, and the bread was already baked, it's already a done deal, unless he baked it for you. Meaning, we're going to talk a little bit later about what if you do on special order, right? A lot of times you make a simcha, you make a Sheva Brachas or something, so you know exactly how many people are going to be at the Sheva Brachas. So whatever it is, it's going to be 32 people, and you want everyone to have a nice little challah roll in front of them. So you can't rely on just being able to go, depending on where you live, you can't just rely on being able to go into the store and finding 32 challah rolls. You have to call the bakery in advance and order 32 challah rolls. Or it's your kid's birthday, and you want the cheapest, biggest cake you can get, so Costco is the place to go, right? So the milchig, big cake, so you call the bakery and order and make sure that they have, because they're going to write the name on it or whatever. You call the bakery and you order the whatever fancy cakes they have, you know, Dora the Explorer or something. So you call in advance and you special order the cake. Then they're making it for you. If they're making it for you, then l'chora if you say like the Shach that there's really only one suffik over here, and that and that's the chazak that the kli is Einu Ben Yomo, then lechora you're not allowed to rely on that lecharchila. You're not allowed to have them bake for you lecharchila, if there's a legitimate chashash of their kelim. Now this does not actually play out lemaisa in Costco, because if the Costco bakery in the Costco near you is under Ashkacha, certainly the major commissaries are, meaning where they get, you know, normally everything's with an okay Hashkacha, that means that they make sure that those kelim don't have any treif ablios, meaning they make sure that they have only kosher kelim. But if you were to buy special order bread from an Ovid Chavim, this would lechora chapen afkamina between the Shach and the Rishonim, who quote all the other Sveikos. Right, the Ramban and the Ran who quote all the other Sveikos. The Shach is much more brief over here, just about the one issue of Eina Ben Yomo. What exactly are we concerned about? Is it chasnus or is it avodah zarah? So if you look in Pischi Tshuva Aleph, he says that the pashal mumar shari, meaning a pas of a mumar, is mutter, to mishum chasnus lecha. Davu bishachat Yisrael hu mutter lisabito. Because he's still a Jew, so his daughter's Jewish. Meaning, if the concern was for, you know, a negative religious influence, so then the lechora even a mumar would be a problem. But it doesn't seem that's the issue. It seems that the concern is that chasnus, and chasnus is also on account of davar acher. But as long as you marry a Jew, it's going to be fine. So the gezeirah is only for non-Jews. Jews are mechalei shabbos v'rasya, even though they do have the status of an akum when dealing with wine and other gezeiros, their bread is going to be mutter. Because the purpose of the gezeirah is to make sure that the Jews don't intermarry, but since the person is Jewish, even though not religious, the gezeirah doesn't apply. However, Prima Gadim is not so sure about that. Prima Gadim disagrees with the Pischi Tshuva, and he says that from the Gemara, it sounds not that way, right? The Gemara says, chasnus is a hechitim, so meaning the chasnus is only aser, mishum, dover acher. The whole reason not to intermarry is because you can come to worship Avodah Zarah. If this person is an Ovid Avodah Zarah, so his bread should be aser, because he might come to marry his daughter, who will influence you to become non-religious, influence you to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. And in fact, even Lahalacha, Rav Sternbach has a tshuva like that. Rav Sternbach in Tshuvas V'Hanhagos, let me see, I have it here somewhere, Chelek Aleph Simen Tof Ayin, has She'ela, Mechal Shabbos B'Varesya, V'Utinok Shnishba, He'impito U'bishulo Ka'akum, do we view it as Pas'akum? So he says, Nira, Da'af L'tayim Adas U'pito Mishum Chasnus, Yesh L'Esr B'Zeh, De'ikur Isr Chasnus, Hainu Kiruv Beinenu L'Veinam, She'bezeh Mevi L'Srachik Chas V'Sholem Mechaya Torah. He says, fascinating. We're trying to make it about this nafkamina. If it's about chasnos, then Yisrael shechata Yisrael, you don't have to worry about chasnos. But if it's about davar acher, then you do have to worry. Says Rav Sternbach, no, chasnos doesn't mean chasnos. Meaning, after all, didn't we say that even a priest? Chasnos is not chasnos. Chasnos is kirva. Chasnos is feeling a sense of connection that's going to cause you to abandon Torah. Simkin, gabu mechal shabbos farasi, yesh lesar. Then he quotes Tshuvas Avni Nezer, Shemitzadid Kein Shagam Behem Shaykh Yisr Mishum Bedosehem. Umiu Betinok Shnishba Matzino Biyardea, Shein Dino Kakum Shukamo Anus, Ulfiza Gam Kan Betinok Shnishba Eno Kakum Dosubito Bishulo. He says that now you would think that a Tinok Shnishba sometimes we're more make a line because it's not his fault. Avonir Shafilu Anus, Ukatinok Shnishba, Velo Asham Bemasha Mechal Shabbos. His carvas aleim mazik lanu. Says Rav Sternbach, you know, the gaivin of the Eidah Haredis, you know, keeping true to form, that he says, if the concern is the negative influence, I don't care that it's not his fault, that he's not religious. I understand that it's not his fault. So I'm not going to yell at him. I'm not going to blame him. I don't think he's going to suffer in Gehenna as much as the person who knew better. I understand all that. But the bottom line is, can he be a negative religious influence? And if the answer is yes, he will be a negative religious influence, so then you have an iser of pasakum. So there are gazal pito v'yenu shalalis karbiman. Even though he's not ka'akum, hakiru v'imo mevi osanu lasos kemasov. That being too close to him causes us to be like him. So how do we paskin la'alacha? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Mem Hei in Yerodeya that he says when you have workers that are mechalei Shabbos v'rasya, yoser notek ha'sovim deyin lam dinakum linyin zeh. says I'm more known to like a Pesachei Tshuva, not like the Prima Gadim, not like that Rav Schirmbach. He obviously doesn't address Rav Schirmbach. Rav Schirmbach, wrote afterwards, but that's what he suggests. Ooh, Yalkli Yosef also passing that even though Mechal Shabbos Rashi has a din of Akum. One is still mutter to eat his bread since there's no iser to marry them. Yeah, it's like the Pesach of Yalkut Yosef also. So Rav Moshe and Rav Vadia. So I think kedai lanu Rav Moshe and Rav Vadia to be selmichan when it comes to.
Would the Shach be against this? Because the Shach, if a priest can set you up with someone, also you know if the derech guy could set you up with someone.
No, I mean the Shach is just saying that they made a low plug, that they made it about all Gayim, but it's only about Gayim. They didn't make it about Jews.
Even though his reason was that they'll set you up.
Yeah, within their community, they'll set you up with someone like them, and that's going to be intermarriage.
But the Mumar is also in their community.
And you'll end up marrying a Jew.
No, but if he's a Mumar, he's off there. He doesn't live with the Jews anymore.
No, they wouldn't have made a gzeira on account of setting it, meaning the Shach is saying that's also included in the gzeira. Once they made a gzeira, Mishum B'nai Seim, so also included is the possibility that they'll set you up with somebody else. But they wouldn't have made a gzeira because the guy might find you another shidduch. That wouldn't have been the whole basis for the gzeira, I don't think.
Isn't there a third option, which is more like the Pesachei Tshuva, that it's about the status of a non-Jew, so a Mumar wouldn't be included because there's no issue of classness, but maybe a Mumar has the status of an Adva, meaning in Halacha, and then there would be a chilek between a regular Mumar and a Tino Shanishva, because a Tino Shanishva doesn't have the status of an Adva.
Right, so Rav Sturmbach is addressing that possibility, and that would make sense. I mean, that's probably, you could argue that's what the Prima Gadim holds. But Rav Sturmbach says, but at the end of the day, the concern is if you're saying that a Mumar is included, it's because it's not because of Dino Ka'akum. That's what Rav Sturmbach's argument is, that it's not dependent on Dino Ka'akum, it's dependent on potential influence. So there's just as much potential influence from a Tinuk Shnishba. But Enoch Inami, that is a very logical possibility, and that's why Rav Sturmbach is coming to Bavor in that exact issue.
Yeah, I think Yoni and I saw, I think the Chazonish might say that, maybe the Habanes are like, that's a real, that we saw.
Yeah, so he quotes the Avnei Nezer. He quotes the Avnei Nezer. Rav Sturmbach quotes the Avnei Nezer. He does not quote the Chazanish. Chazanish is the famous Tinuk Shanish, but not being Dino Kakum in Hilchos Shechita. Chazanish over here by Pasakum?
I'm not sure. Also, another thing is we saw that the OU has an article where they say that Rav Shechter and Rav Osher Weiss asking like that Rav Avadia and the Rav Moshe and the Rabbi.
Yeah, I think it's almost universal. I wonder if the Eda Charedis does also. I don't know if they necessarily have every policy aligned with Rav Sturmbach's tshuvas. I think it's almost universally accepted to assume that way.
If Rav Sturmbach is right, wouldn't it make more sense for the Gemara just to skip that step of chasnas and just say that the chashash is the barakher? You're going to get close to a not Jew, and there's going to be a chashash is the barakher. It sounds like the concern is chasnas, which has an issue with the barakher, but mainly because it's...
Yeah, meaning either way you say it, whichever way you say it, you have a problem why the Gemara was so verbose, right? Meaning, if the real concern is Davar Acher, why mention Chasnus? If the real concern is Chasnus, why mention Davar Acher? Right? So you have to say that that the Gemara...
Meaning, part of the concern with Chasnus is Davar Acher.
If the concern...
That's part of why we don't want intermarriage.
Meaning it's explaining why intermarriage is so bad. What about the fact that it's an Isser in the Torah, potentially? Isn't that bad enough? So it is. It's bad enough, but we wouldn't have made a gzera for that. We're making a gzera for what that leads to, which is also a little surprising. You think intermarriage is much worse, because that's Doros. Meaning what it leads to in your own personal life. So you're a bad guy. That's not necessarily Doros. I don't know. Meaning, either way, either the Gemara is telling us how you get there, how you get to Davar Acher, because I might say, what, because I'm eating the bread, I'm going to do Avodah Zarah? No, you wouldn't do Avodah Zarah from your baker, but you would do Avodah Zarah if your wife is doing it, right? So, Chasnus and then Avodah Zarah. Or it's Chasnus is the Gzeira, and Avodah Zarah is just the reason that Chasnus is taken so seriously. Either way, you have to say something like that. Okay, now let's get the mice over here. We already discussed how pas is anything from the Shulchan Aruch said anything from the five grains, and the Rama added the thing about bishul akum, that if it's not all Shulchan Aruch, it's not bishul akum. There is Tosos in Beit Zadok that Zayin and Beis. Someone say something? No. Tosfos and Beit Zadok Tazayin and Beis discusses about cookies. A machlokas whether cookies are subject to pas akum. The Raman Sivav says that va'osa nila shakorn kichlich o mina mitika shakorn lekuch heim bechlal pas. That the Yisra Pasakum applies to cookies, ragalach, things like that, anything, you know, Pasabah Bekistanen also. The Taz in Sivkat and Vav explains that if you were to settle in for a meal of cookies, you would have to say a motzi on it before the meal and birch samazin at the end. So therefore, the Gzera applies to pastries. We'll get back to pastries a little bit later on when we get there, when we get to that Sif. So basically, to summarize, Chazal assered any bread from the five grains baked by a non-Jew, lest you come to marry their children. The Gzeir applies even if you buy the bread and eat it alone in your house when you're not eating with them. The Taz and Sivka and Dalit and the Aruch HaShulchan explain, based on the Yerushalmi, that it was very hard to keep that Gzeira and it was therefore not fully accepted. Like those Rishonim that said that it was not fully accepted by Am Yisrael, but Chazal didn't get rid of the Gzeira entirely, right? So they didn't want to rescind the Gzeira's pass because that would be Betina Sharia. And in fact, the Gemara says that Ivo ate Pasakum, and because of that, we were not so pleased with him. However, there are cases that we are makel, so let's discuss paspalter a little bit. What exactly is the heter of paspalter? And this is a huge deal and a huge chilik between Sfardim and Ashkenazim. So just to define the terms again. Pas akum is a general term, refers to any bread baked by a non-Jew. The original gzera of Chazal was to forbid all pas akum. Pas palter is bread baked not by your non-Jewish neighbor, but by a commercial baker, right? The owner of the local bakery. Pas balabayis is pas that is baked by your neighbor, your friendly neighbor who happens to bake bread. So when discussing pas palter and pas balabayis, we're talking about cases, obviously, where the ingredients are kosher and we have the right to assume there's no blios of treif in them. Everything's kosher. The only issue is the fact, is this gezeira, the fact that a non-Jew did the baking. Now, what is the basis for the heter of pas palter? Before we get to the gedarim of pas palter, what is the reason that we're makel for pas palter? So the Shach quotes two reasons in Sifkat and Ches. Shach writes, "B'mordechai kasuv atam levishos mekamos hanog in heter haynu mishum shelo nespashit isur pashal v'chavim b'tchilas agzera bosom mekamos levishos pashal v'chavim lo pashat isur b'kol Yisrael." He goes with lo pashat isur b'kol Yisrael, and he says, "Ulfizeh mashma dafilu pashal balei batim muter." If you hold that it's low in the spashet, that the gzera was never accepted, really all pas should be mutter, even pashal balei batim. You have a private friend who bakes bread, who's your neighbor, who's a non-Jew, even that should be mutter. But then he says that there are those, the sfiru lehu, the nispashet is or bakala makamos. No, it was nispashet. El dechazru v'yitiru mishum chaye nefesh. So because of chaye nefesh, so they were only matir, but they had to be matir. So what do you need to be matir for chaye nefesh? Only pas palter. So again, go over all the Rishonim we saw yesterday that discuss whether maybe it was something that didn't require a Beis Din to undo the gzeira, and they were only willing to undo some of the gzeira, even though it didn't really require a Beis Din, or whether it didn't require, whatever the way you get there is, the Shach simplifies it by bringing you two basic opinions. That it was not nispashet, and therefore the whole gzera doesn't apply, or it was nispashet, but the dochak was so great, the chaye nefesh concern was so great, that they had to pull back on the gzera, even though normally, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't be allowed to pull back on a gzera like that. So now, yeah.
We saw a pre-chadosh and our Hashulchan say that it generally wasn't nispashe, but the element of balabayas was nispashe.
Right. So we saw Rishonim that said like that also, right? That meaning the reason that they pulled back on that was because that was the part that was not in the Spashi, right? So that comes from Rishonim also. I forget who he said, but Rishonim said like that also. Yeah, so you have these different possibilities, but bottom line is there is some sort of heter of palter that does not apply to pas balabayis. So now, what is that heter of palter? So Shulchan Aruch Tzif Beis paskins based on the Rambam that if there's no Jewish baker around, he does not mention Sadda, like we said before, then you're allowed to buy bread from a non-Jewish commercial baker because it's considered a shasat chak, right? That's considered a, enough of a shasat chak, that you're, right? He says, shehi shasat chak. That's the lashon Shulchan Aruch uses. Meaning, the way he says it, though, is, yesh mekumos shemekilin bedavar. In certain places, the gzeir of pasakum doesn't apply when both of the following criteria are met, that it's halter, not a balabayas, and that there's no Jewish baker in town. So you, if you're a mechaber Jew, you need to be machmir whenever there's pas Yisrael available, right? Whenever there's a Jewish baker in town. However, the Ramah disagrees, right? The Ramah passes like the Mordechai, that bread from a non-Jewish palter, even if there is a Jewish baker around, v'yeshomer, dafil magam shapas shal matzui, shari. So according to the Ramah, we allow pas palters. How do we paskin? So you're going to say, well, if I'm a Sephardi Jew, I'll paskin like the Mechaber, and if I'm an Ashkenazi Jew, as the majority of us in the Shir are, we're going to paskin like the Ramah. Not so fast, though. The Shach in Siv Katan Tes says, he starts saying exactly like the Mechaber, that if there's a Palter Yisrael available, do not buy Pas Palter from an Akum. But then he softens it a little bit. Unless it's better. If it's better, if the Costco cakes are just better than the Shleimi's, Maishi's, whatever, Reisman's, I don't know, whatever bakery, the Jewish bakery, yeah. Okay, so if it's better, then you buy from the Paltar Ovid Chavim. So the Shach is sort of like a compromise between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Best to be Machmer like the Shulchan Aruch, unless the Paltar's bread is tastier. Like the Shulchan Aruch really himself says in Sif Hei, right? If you look ahead to Sif Hei, Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh, Amish, Mishi, Yesh, Be'elu, Pasu, Yesh, Paltar, Yisrael, Yesh, Paltar, Ovid Chavim, Osa, Pasu, Yofe, Mi, Menu, Omi, Minach, Hashem, Be'elu, Shul, Paltar, Yisrael, Motu, Likos, Paltar, Ovid Chavim, Makr, Shal, Go, Hed, and Pasu, Paltar. So he describes Yofe, Mi, Menu as being, so it could be that the Shach is not saying, I'm compromising, the Shach is saying, I'm passing like the Mechaber. I'm passing like the Mechaber. It's just that the Mechaber was not so clear over here in Siv Beis. He's clearer in Siv Hei that as long as it's Yafim Imenu, that's good enough. But notice, Yafim Imenu sounds like it's a higher quality bread. What if the price is better? By the way, the Aruch HaShulchan passes like the Shach. It's also, it's a gewaldic chumra for Ashkenazim, right? That means that if there's... That unless it's a higher quality bread, you have to buy from the Palter Yisrael,
and the
Chachma Sada. What if it's cheaper? And it is, right? I mean, the Costco cakes are they're not better than the over here. I'm in the Five Towns now, so let's say the delicious Jewish owned bakery is called Allen's. Right, that's the one that's the popular place to be now for baked goods, and rightfully so. It's awesome. So I have 10 pounds on me that weren't there before to prove it. So it's delicious. It's just as good. It's not that the pas akum is any better. The pas palter shalakum is any better, but it's cheaper. The pas palter shalakum is cheaper. You can still get a better price at Costco. So is that good enough? So in Chalkas Binyamin, do I have it here? In Sif Katan, I think I have four copies in here. In Sif Katan Mem Vav, let me just find it. Chalkas Binyamin, in Sif Katan Mem Vav, writes, Yafimimenu, near the Ratzalom Shul Yafimenu Betamo, Inami Bimar Iso. That has to be taste or in the way it appears. And then in Sif Katan Nun, also, he just says, You like it better. So he seems to say that the price is not what it's about. That you like the bread. It has to be something intrinsic to the bread itself. That it's tastier to you. It's higher quality to you. Like for some people, it's the shopping experience. Right? Meaning, why do I prefer the Pas Yisrael? Because when I go to the non-Jewish bakery, everyone's wearing masks. So, and I'm being very careful. When I go to the Jewish bakery, everyone's sneezing all over each other. So, I don't enjoy shopping there. But the Pas is just as good, right? So I'm not saying leaving out Pikuach Nefesh and all that. Maybe that was a bad example. But, or it just might be, it's a larger store. It's more helpful salespeople or whatever. But so that's not what it's about. It's about the bread itself. The OU passings like the Ramah, right? Not like the Shach. That even in, you should know, it's not just the OU. A lot of the Heimischer brands also. It's sort of an open secret that some of the Heimischer brands that even say Pas Yisrael on them, not abundantly clear that that's the case. In all cases, Rabbi Reisman said that he asked someone in the business years ago. He said, I'm not sure if the Metzius is the same, but he said Lieber's was the only Heimischer pretzels that were actually Pas Yisrael. That Lieber's had a reputation for being very, very good about this. Because obviously when they're making pretzels, it's not like Lieber's has this big factory or Pashkes or whatever has these big factories that make all sorts of different foods. They contract out and they take over the pretzel factory for 5 hours one day and they do a Lieber's run of the same pretzels, but they just have a mashkiach there to make sure everything's okay. So the systems that are already in place in these large places, in the Snyder's pretzel factory or whatever, may not have pasakum in place. So to change the system of how things are done when you're only renting out the place for a few hours is it's a lot harder than just to make sure that that you to do another spot check of the ingredients or something. Now in Sifta Zayin, this is I think critical, because what exactly does it mean that it's yafel? How much better, right? Meaning, how do you measure such a thing? That it's any tastier, that it's any more pleasant for you. So there are poskim that are makel even outside. I didn't have a chance to find any today, but I do recall that there are poskim that are makel based on convenience and based on price and based on shopping experience and things like that also, that it's not only about the bread itself. Now, if you're going to say like that you're going to be makel based on price or whatever, so it could be that the geder to look at is what the Mechaber writes in Sifta Zayin. The Mechaber writes in Sifta Zayin, Yesh misha omer, sha'nizor mipasol v'chabim, v'u bederech, im yesh pashal yishol adar bo'amilin yamtin. He says, what does it mean that you have Pas Yisrael available? It means up until arba'amilin. If you're traveling and you're traveling in that direction anyway, but the next exit with a Jewish bakery is within 72 minutes of where you are right now, so you have to wait till you get there. The Ramah predictably, obviously, adds Kvar Nispar La'el Dinagim L'Hakel, that he says, I don't care, we're making even if there is Pas Yisrael available. But within the Mechaber, he sets it at a dalad milin. So the Mechaber is comparing, where does he get dalad milin from? This comes up in other places in Halacha where we have dinim of dalad milin. And the din of dalad milin is not only a din of dalad milin, it's a din of one meal also, right? When it comes to netilas d'dayim, if no water is available. So it's dalad milin lefanav in the direction that you're going anyway, but it's la'achrav, it's a meal, right? To go one meal out of your way. Pischei Tshuva and Sifkat Vav makes this connection explicitly, right? That's clearly where the Mechaber is taking this from. So the same applies, let's say, for Tefillah, davening with a minyan, right? How far out of your way will it take you? So apparently, the shear that you have to go out of your way is one meal. So if it's just a matter of waiting, but it's not out of your way, it's on your way, but it's a matter of waiting a little longer, then it's four meals. So four meals is typically 72 minutes, and one meal is 18 minutes. So maybe that could help us understand just how much tastier it has to be to have the heter of the shach. or how much more pleasant the experience has to be, or how much cheaper it has to be in order to have the heter of the shach. Because maybe you can flip it. You can say it like this. Let's assume there were two bakeries. Let's assume they were both Jewish bakeries. And one of them was tastier than the other. Right? Would I go 72 minutes further? Would I wait an additional 72 minutes? Or go 18 minutes out of my way for that difference in taste? I mean, it could be that you could apply the same geder for what's considered to be yafa, what's considered to be that it's really better. Especially if you're going to say, you know, you could argue that if we're talking about yafa, that even slightly better is better, that you don't have to go with these gedarim. But if you can go with price, so how much a 1 penny price difference? So maybe the mechaber is tipping his hand on that. That if you can go with price, would I drive 18 minutes to the store that I wouldn't have had to drive otherwise in order to get that better price? So if it's a difference of a nickel, right? Why is it that people still shop for toilet paper and paper towels and paper plates sometimes in the local supermarkets? They don't just always go to Costco every time you need it. So why is it that they even stock this stuff? Costco has it for much cheaper. Because sometimes people are willing to pay the extra price when it's local, when you can get it more locally. So it could be that that's the gather you're supposed to go. The challenge is figuring out whether meal and dalad meal is dependent on distance or time, right? Because that's a huge nafkamina, right? If it's about one meal out of my way and I'm in a car and it's about distance, so that's like 2 minutes out of my way. But if you're talking about time, the time it takes to travel a meal when you're walking, so then it's 18 minutes out of my way. Or it's about waiting, to wait for a meal when I'm driving on a highway, to wait for a meal will again take me about 3 minutes when I'm driving on a highway. But to go to wait for a meal in terms of time would be 72 minutes. So Pesachei Teshuva addresses this directly in Sif Katan Vav. It's just he's not abundantly clear in his Lashon, but he writes, Ein chiluk bein rochev al asus o hilich baraglav. Says that makes no difference how you're traveling. Yeah. And in both cases, what? Meaning in both cases, it's about time, or in both cases, it's about distance. So Pashtus is he's talking about distance. The distance of meal and dalad meal are only about distance. That it's not about time at all. Which would be a huge kula in our case, right? That as long as the store is a couple of miles out of your way, then that's enough reason to be allowed to bypass Palter Shalakum, right? You have a similar discussion, let's say, by Tfila Sederach, how we do the measuring. Say a parsa, so Machlokes Haposkim, how we measure when you're driving by a car or a train or something like that, where you can cover great distances. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that it's a mekubal to do it based on distance and not based on time. And the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Yud Sif Katan Lamed says so explicitly also. If you look in, I wrote about this in one of my Svarim in the second volume of Hakon Olamo in Siman Chavav, where I spoke about Tfilas HaDerech. So the Deborah Tzina Rav in Be'er Moshe, he has a section called Kuntros Electric. So in his Kuntros Electric, which isn't really about electricity, it's about anything that's a modern shaila, he puts under Kuntros Electric. So in Kuntros Electric, he writes that the sheer parsa on an airplane is like that. You know, you go parsa like that. So Tfilas HaDerech, as soon as the plane takes off, you've already got it. You got your parsa, you can say your Tfilas HaDerech. However, Rav Vadi Yosef in Yabia Omer Chelek Aleph Arachaim Siman Yud Gimel seems to disagree. Rav Vadia writes that he saw in the Sefer Zichron Yehuda by Tfilas HaDerech that if you go by Mesilas HaBarzel, on a train, that you're supposed to wait the amount of time that's Shir Parsa. He says the din of Birchsa Gomel in the din of Tfilas HaDerech, the shear is going to be a parsa when it comes to halich baderech. So he says well, you can say by birchsa gomel that you consider to have traveled through a midbar. If you traveled for a minute through a midbar, he says hard to imagine such a thing. That has to be a significant time that's spent. So that's what Avadia writes. And he quotes that that's the minig in Eretz Yisrael from other great Sephardic Inim. Okay, so this is an old shaila about how to measure these things. It would just come out that it's a tremendous kula in our case. Now, when it comes to pas balabayis, there's nothing to talk about, right? Pas balabayis, Shulchan Aruch and Rama agree you're not allowed to buy or eat bread from your non-Jewish neighbor or friend. And the reason is because the purpose of the gzera is to make sure the Jews don't intermarry, which is especially applicable to a non-Jewish neighbor. In Siv Ches, Shulchan Aruch brings the opinion of the Ra'a, who says that in a city where there's absolutely no commercial baker available, then you're even allowed to buy from your non-Jewish neighbor. You'll save paskins like the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Ches, but only b'shas adchak. Obviously, by definition, it sounds like a shas adchak. So, you know, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start with a discussion of the geder of pas balter versus pas balabayis, and a very critical shach siv katan zayin, which is a bombshell on this whole sugya, is going to be very critical. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about factory bread and gluten free bread, and which cases were machmir on pas palter, when or what circumstances were machmir, even Ashkenazim might be machmir on pas palter. So Bez Hashem, we'll save that for tomorrow.
Just one
more,
we saw the
Ben Ishchai
says
what?
The Minhag amongst many Sfarim make a like the Ramah.
The Ben Ishchai says many Sfarim make a like the Ramah?
Yeah, he's back in the base Medrash, right? So they make a Minhag make a like the Ramah.
Like for Moroccans?
Or like Sultans.
Okay. Very good. Well, we're gonna Sfardim. Yeah. Well, it gets very difficult for Sfardim if you don't come up with a lot of good kulas. We'll see when we get to Bishlak and Rav Avadia was really challenged, you know, to come up with kulas. Okay. Shkayach. Thank you. If you could send me a copy or a picture of the Ben Ishchai, where's the Ben Ishchai? Do you know where it is?
I do have it. It's in Shana 2
Chukas
Beis.
Shana 2 Chukas Beis.
Okay. I don't know if Ben Ishchai works. We looked it up once, but Shana Beis Chukas Beis.
Yeah, that's how it works. Shana Beis Chukas Beis. Okay. Shkayach. All right. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.